Let's turn to number 332. We're going to stand and sing, and then after teens are in here, we'll sit back down and have just a few words to speak to you here before we actually go into communion. Number 332. Help these guys get settled here. Number 357. 357. 357. Amen. You can be seated. Now, it looks like most folks here are old hands at this. I was prepared in case somebody kind of new wandered in. I don't think there's any need for that. You've been preached to already today a couple times. And tonight, I would just point out one thing to you. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you have just a second. And I'd emphasize that we're not asking that you necessarily be a member of the church or anything like that. Take communion with us. There are some folks that practice what is called closed communion, and meaning that they want only members of their church taking communion, and I have disagreements with that for some doctrinal reasons. We're not going to go into it all here tonight, but if you're saved and confident of your position in the Lord, then you know we certainly would invite you as part of the body of Christ to take communion with us here. But there are a couple of very important things to point out here that has been misunderstood for a long time. Any of you that grew up Catholic, you may or may not have known about something called transubstantiation. And that is where the Roman Catholic Church teaches that when the magic words are said over the communion wafer or bread and the wine, that it literally turns to the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And thus, you get eternal life by eating the literal body and blood. And that's, you'll see here in just a minute, that is demonic. Now, if you grew up a good Lutheran or a less doctrinally stringent brand than we Bible believers, and you might have been told some sort of mysterious gobbledygook, some esoteric stuff about how somehow, you know, the body and blood of Jesus Christ is somehow present in the elements, you know, without being too weird. And I just wanted you to know that that's weird too. Because it's not present. I want to show it's just chiefly important you understand what that body, that bread, and that wine represents. And once you understand that, then it's easier to understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, the cup of blessing, which is what we're doing here tonight, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That's exactly what we're doing. Now, he goes on to say, behold, Israel after the flesh are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar. But in verse 19, what say I then that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? Well, no. But verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. If someone calls the communion a sacrifice, then what they're doing is having fellowship with devils. It's that fine line where your conception of this thing, your apprehension of it in your heart and mind matters to the Lord. How you come, how you partake of this matters to the Lord. And he says, if somebody's calling this a sacrifice, they sacrifice the devils and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Well, folks, that means that some of you grew up in church on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night having fellowship with devils. And aren't you glad you got delivered from that? Ain't that a blessing? Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now, folks, the key to this whole thing is found in verse 17, where it says, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. I know what people think the body of Christ is, and we conceptualize that when we got saved, we got in the body of Christ. And, you know, so some are pinkies and some are earlobes and some are eyes and so on and so forth. And that's all fine and that's all good. But if what you have to see in this is that if you're saved, you are part of the body of Christ, and that body for right now at this particular location is you. What we are having tonight, we are partaking of the bread to symbolize our communion in Christ together. But when we take that bread is not the body of Christ. You are. And when we partake of that cup, and this cup is not true wine, it's grape juice, it's new wine, then we're symbolizing our partaking in the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's not the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ in this room is on you all when you were washed in the blood. If you understand those things, then you understand enough to take communion as long as you have taken and have been made a part of the body of Jesus Christ by faith, not by baptism. Right? So if we're clear on that, then we're clear. Now, we've just had preaching and didn't close in an invitation, Brother Grissom. We were discombobulated tonight. Brother Grissom had his class back there. We're going to take a few minutes here to pray and let you have opportunity to just spend a little bit of time in communion with the Lord while we're in here having communion with one another. Jenny's going to play a few songs. We take some of this time to pray. It's an excellent opportunity for you to examine your own heart. It's an excellent opportunity to just take some time and all of us here together, not publicly, but all of us here together confess our sins and faults and failures to the Lord, not to each other. And then after that, Jenny, you'll stop playing and we will have communion. All right? So let's take a few minutes here as Jenny starts to play. We'll give you 5 or 10 minutes to just have a couple minutes of prayer. If you want to come kneel at the altar, if you want to kneel at your seat, that's fine. If you want to just stay seated, that's perfectly fine as well. Nobody was missed, right? Thanks to Luann, this is actually unleavened bread, so better than crackers. 1 Corinthians 11:24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Let's sing one here before we're dismissed. Let's turn to number 116. 116. Father, we're glad to be able to come to you here tonight, and you've delivered most of us from some things, Lord, that we did not conceive when we were involved in them. For many of us here in this room, you delivered us from the demonic bands of religion. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for a true, right doctrine, Lord, that we find from the Word of God. We trust that book, Lord. We trust all the words of the book. And Lord, we're thankful for your deliverance from our sins and from a vain life. Father, we were standing around a vineyard idle with nothing to do and not much of good to anybody or anything, much less you. We're glad for that. We're glad for a high calling. You made us stewards of the mysteries of God. We pray that you might find us faithful. We're glad you've set us here in these last days, Lord. We are certain that these are the very last times, and we earnestly anticipate seeing your face when you come again very soon. We hope that it might be tonight. And Lord, we are glad to have our communion together, one with another. Appreciate the friendships that are here, that are represented here. We pray that you'd be with those that are away, those that are going through some trials, some tough times, Lord. In spite of what I said about discouragement, I know that that's a very real threat to us all. We pray that you'd guard us, Lord, in these things.
We're asking that you would continue to bless us, asking that you would give us a sure light to follow, help us not depart from it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, folks.